Bonnie Gani, everyone. This is Professor Amon-Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach, former city councilman for the city of Compton, former Compton College Board of Trustees, and former Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees. We want to welcome you here to Black to the Conscious Corner. We got in-depth discussions on many issues that we face as African people in the hills of North America. And we want to just get speak truth to ourselves, to the people, and to power. And we also want to uplift the people's minds to a sense of consciousness. You know, Malcolm said we have to wake up, clean up, and that's one of the roles of our platform, is to try to get people interested in freeing themselves so they can be themselves, freeing themselves so they can participate in activities that they think are very important to our liberation and our struggle for human dignity and human freedom, as well as specifically African people. We have all kind of issues as a people, and we have to face them, and we have to speak truth. We have to criticize ourselves and our people when they're wrong. But above all, we keep our eyes on the dominant society that's creating chaos all over the world. So I'm going to start off by asking Brother Ahi, what's going on in Detroit?
Well, brother, the Middle Easterns are up in arms. You know, we got 250,000 here in the state of Michigan, and the largest concentration is right here on the edge of Detroit. Eastbourne is called. Dearborn is a place they you know, the white folks try to separate themselves from the Middle Eastern. Now they call it Eastbourne. But Dearborn was a place when I was coming up, you couldn't walk through. The Middle Eastern came through and put a down payment on it. Now they just about own it. So they are not happy with Kamala Harris's lack of vocal support for the Palestinians. Now they're in Lebanon. And the mayor of Dearborn and the mayor of Hamtramck, which is also like the second largest Middle Eastern hub in the Detroit area, have all endorsed another candidate for president outside of Kamala Harris.
And outside of Trump?
Outside of Trump and outside of Kamala, they are not supporting her.
Okay. Well, let me say this. You know, it's, and I support them to be outraged about the overwhelming dedication that Kamala has shown toward Israel, planting a tree and talking about calling the liberation struggle of freeing Palestine a bunch of terrorists and things of this nature. That's a challenge for not only the people in Michigan, but that's a challenge for anybody that has human dignity, because you ask yourself a question. You know, we want to support Kamala, but at what price do we give up our dignity watching genocide and still vote for her while she has not shown any empathy or any concern for the over 80,000 Palestinians in Gaza that have been killed, and probably a million that have been hurt, you know, and the starvation and the what they call docile bombing of their homes and hospitals and schools. I mean, the majority of the people, women, children, pregnant women, and things of this nature. But also, you have to flip the coin and say, look at the other Arab communities that are not supporting or providing assistance to America and sometimes Israel, to giving them information and letting them use their facilities to help shoot down the bomb, and they're not criticizing them.
You know, they're the Saudis.
Yeah, they're not criticizing Saudi Arabia. They're not criticizing even Egypt. They're not criticizing, Kuwait, Syria. Not they're not even saying we're gonna cut off the oil that the imports. I mean, is money more important than the lives of the people? And that's a challenge, man. I understand their outrage, but I think it's selective, and they want to put all the pressure on the United States, and rightfully. But they also should, at the same time, come out and criticize those Arab and Muslim countries that have not publicly are used there that we know of. We know there's some collaboration, but we're trying to deal with just, hey man, how you sit there and watch your brothers and sisters get wiped out and killed fighting for just human dignity? I mean, for over 60 years. So that's an issue there. So they can get mad and vote for whoever they want, but at the same time, it should be proportionate with regard to criticizing of other kind. How do you feel about that?
Well, this is the ideal time for them, and this is the mayor of Dearborn's words come directly out of his mouth. He said they're going to form a political bloc, and they're going to get the message that if they want their votes, they're going to have to negotiate with them to get them next time around.
Okay, but how do you feel about the war? What do you think about what's going on? Have you looked at it, paid any attention to
Have,
it?
and I the other day I was just listening to Ta-Nehisi Coates and all the criticism he's getting for reporting on the Palestinians' plight in Palestine, and been compared to a terrorist and everything else. There's so much bias. Of course, I haven't been there, but I can take the word of some of our people who have been over there and gone through there and said it's just awful. The conditions are just awful. No access to the water, and they're living right next to it. Structures as far as their sanitary structures, access to food. It's an apartheid from all evidence given by the reporters and stuff that are over there. And the media has shown itself to be completely biased. CNN, CNBC, all of them, ABC, Fox News, they're completely biased. And it's almost as if one entity is running them all.
It's amazing. It's amazing that you have such a loyalty, even by America, saying that they will support Israel at all costs, no matter what they do. How
Giving them
you
the bombs.
about
Those are
that?
American bombs they dropping.
And intelligence, and as well as helping them get information from captives through torture. Remember, I mean, nobody's even looking into how the Palestinian kids and captives are being treated, from sexual abuse to just torture to get information, and nothing like human intelligence and the type of torture that they're doing, from reports from people that have access to that information. Is horrendous. From turn them upside down, threaten to cut off their testicles, doing all kind of stuff, maiming them, raping them, sodomizing them with instruments, It's a struggle, brother. But
and the governments in the West are looking the other way. How awful is that? They're looking the other way.
Well, yeah.
I have a question, Professor Rao.
What's that?
You were saying some of the surrounding. Were you saying some of the surrounding countries that are actually Islam is not saying anything or assisting?
They're not openly criticizing, and they are, and some of them are collaborating with America.
Do you think that's a fear? That fear of America, if they don't, you know, kind of comply, or if they don't speak out, that's a good thing for them.
That's a part. That may be it, but
they traitors.
But that's not like helping them have facilities to help shoot down the missiles, the rockets that the people are shooting at Israel that never get through. You see, America got boats over there and other logistic areas in those countries where they're using their facility, that land or that part of the country to help Israel and protect Israel. America, I mean, they said it. They said, with our allies and our cooperative people, they got a number of Arab countries that America is working with, but they don't talk to the Palestinians. They're talking to other Arab countries to put pressure on the Palestinians to accept terms that would mean that their struggle was for nothing. In other words, let Israel take the land they want from Gaza, which Gaza. The reason Gaza is so heavily populated is because they ran all the Palestinians off their land and put them in Gaza and using the ocean as a fence. And then they put up gates to let who come in and who come out, what streets they can travel, and all those type of things. So, they're collaborating. Egypt has been a major collaborator. Saudi Arabia has been a major collaborator. Some of Afghanistan and not only Afghanistan. Let me give you an example. Afghanistan has a nuclear weapon.
What?
Yeah, Afghanistan. What's the other name, country over there?
Pakistan.
No, is it Pakistan? No, right next to
India.
One of them got, they won't share. I mean, if Lebanon and other parts of Palestinians had nuclear weapons, they wouldn't be getting attacked the way they're getting attacked.
No. Let me pull up a map so we can look at that.
Yeah.
But Lebanon, go ahead, continue. Through. Brother Mashinda came back.
Yeah. How you doing, Mashinda? You on mute?
These people are crazy. They trying to annihilate all those people over there. This is straight out genocide.
They've been doing it. But see, the struggle, the beauty is their resilience, regardless of what they've been through, how many people they've been lost, how many times they've been bombed and destroyed. They still fight, you know.
They're fighting for their lives.
Yeah, fighting for, you know, liberation too.
They rather destroy those people than negotiate with them.
Okay.
Or try and live peacefully.
Yeah, you got Jordan, Kuwait, United Emirates, Saudi Arabia.
Look how small Israel is.
Israel that's why they want land. Malcolm said that's what they want, more land. Their borders have expanded since 1956. You know, they keep going, getting bigger and bigger by killing. That's what they're doing in throughout the Palestinian territory.
Yeah,
taking the land.
They going north to the Lebanon, messing them up.
What dissuaded them from going from taking land in Africa?
Because this the central part of Africa they could never conquer. In the southern areas and in those communities. And they colonized the main coast, the coast,
the west.
Coastland. Yeah. You know, so, you know, you
and look at how it. Look how big Iraq is compared to the, and they over here, they shooting Iraq is, man, this is wild.
That's what I'm saying. Why are they not criticizing Iraq?
Get that.
And what's the deal with Syria?
The same thing. You know, and but see, you got to understand that these people call themselves Jewish, but they're really white people. That's it.
Yeah, you Europeans.
They claim they're German, German, ethnically. And they're the Gaza Strip. Now, they moved them people from the West Bank and other parts of Palestine. And they don't even have Palestine on the map.
No.
You know.
And it used to be
Palestine. They call it Jerusalem.
Yeah.
I mean, Israel. Yeah, that's what they call it now.
But that strip.
Oh, yeah, that's the Gaza Strip there.
Yeah.
Israel. Yeah, they try to think they can just erase the name now.
Well, that's where they get it from, America. How America killed those 7 million Native Americans to get this land. Put them on reservation. I mean, this is a practice of the European. But as I was saying,
something.
Boats all up and down here, nuclear weapon boats and everything. So it's you're right, Roger Key. There's some intimidation. But you know, like that, like Maulana said, these are bloodlust people. They enjoy killing and bombing. You know, they be praying to God, and you see all the news people saying Israel is taking out their leaders, and the Israeli people really supporting them going into Lebanon, getting rid of Hezbollah and Hamas, and then the Palestinians in the Gaza. I mean, they love it. They love it. They don't protest against it. Genocide been taking place way before now. You understand? People got to really recognize that. But because they control the media and the educational vehicles, they act like Israel being attacked. You know? And Israel just was formed in 1948. These people have been living there for thousands of years. You understand? How my God promised them a homeland. God ain't no real estate agent. You understand? You know?
Plus, they were Zionists anyway. They were Zionists who discovered Israel. They don't believe in no God.
Yeah. You know, I mean, what if they turned God into a real estate agent? That don't even make sense. But anyway, the war, the whole purpose, you got bloodlust, land, they lead to World War III. That's what they
yes.
did. And
walking
and,
into it.
Well, they're enjoying it. They got the most sophisticated weapons. They unarmed. That's how they beat the Native Americans. They came with iron and all kind of armament and guns and stuff. The Native Americans would had bow and arrows and. You know, most of this stuff was used for hunting, not killing. And here come a man that built weapons to kill from his own experience in his own land of fighting each other. You understand what the whole European crusade was about. You understand? I mean, just look at their history, war with each other and war with the world, you know, and using God as a shield. You know, they hide behind God. And accuse the Palestinians are hiding behind their citizenship. Citizens, and that's why the citizens get killed. So you gotta look at it like that. Mashinda, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
Oh, my phone had died. I had to get back to power.
Yeah. But how are you doing?
Man, I'm doing great, you know? I'm doing great. I won't have it any other way.
And what's your take on the vice president debate and the war?
The vice president debate. Well, I did check some of it out, you know. I thought it was just a continuation of you know, what's been talked about in the media, you know, for the, you know, since the all the candidates have, you know, dropped their name in the hat and you know, everything leading up to the election. You know, I think J.D. Vance, you know, he's, you know, committed to Trump. And, you know, he wouldn't bend from, you know, he wouldn't go against anything, you know, because, of course, you know, prior to, you know, him being selected as vice president, as a running mate, you know, he called Trump all kind of names and said that he was, you know, basically the devil in so many words, you know. But now, you know, he's the best thing, like they say, since sliced bread or whatever, you know, you want to say, you know, since a shrimp po' boy, you know. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, then the other dude, Mr. Waltz, you know, he's you know, has, you know, showing allegiance to the Democratic Party and Kamala Harris and that type of thing. He seems like, you know, like I say, we can find fault in anything, but at the end of the day, you know, I'm looking at somebody that appears to be sane, you know, talking about Tim Walz, a sane individual who, you know, I mean, compared to the other guys are just really, they out there, they got problems. And I don't want to even elaborate on that. It's a lot of issues going on in the Trump camp, just by what they're talking about and some of the things that are coming out of their mouths is just, it's beyond ridiculous, you know. You know, again, the other, you know, Tim Walz, you know, it's politics as usual. You know, we all have to put our agendas up there and our policies, and then you vote, and then, you know, may the best person win. But this is a different election. I've never seen anything like it, you know, especially what I'm hearing out of the Trump camp, you know, the things that come out of their mouths and things like that. It's like a blatant disregard for humanity or whatever. They're just saying anything. But you got millions of people who are backing them. And that's the scary part, is that you got millions of people who support them, you know. So that tells you what kind of people that's living around us, you know, that's in the vicinity or that's in the same country that we live in. So I don't know. It's anyway, but as far as the debate, who won or anything like that, I think they both held their own, you know, as far as their agendas. So I'm gonna leave it at that, you know, just leave it at that. Another question was about the what now?
The war in Lebanon. Israel,
Lebanon. Yeah. Well, again, that song has been played many times. It's like a old standard, you know, being replayed and sung by somebody else. You know, Israel, when I was a kid, I used to listen to the news, KFWB, KNX News. You know, I used to listen to the news. I was probably like maybe 13, 14 years old, and I used to listen to the news, and that's the first time I ever heard of Beirut, you know. So this is nothing new under the sun, you know. The United States has been defending Beirut, been defending Israel, you know. I said in previous podcasts that you know, Israel is a military base, you know, financed by NATO in the United States and so forth. They have nuclear bombs over there. It's just, you know, they want to say it's a democracy over there. I was listening to brother, was it Ta-Nehisi Coates, who went over there and was on the Gaza Strip and all that. And he was, he's got a new book out, but the brother went over there firsthand. You know, he's a journalist, a writer, you know, professor at Howard University. And he was talking about that, the racism, as he said, is, you know, over there, like, you know, how people are treated. He said, it's like Jim Crow over there. He said, it's unbelievable. You know, so we're, he said, like, in other words, you know, something that we supposed to support, you know, something that's supposed to be a democracy. They said, well, they have, you know, court hearings and they have elections and things like that. Well, they had that during, you know, during Jim Crow. They had elections and court hearings back then, you know. So he's comparing that what he saw over in that region of the world is like Jim, it's like Jim Crow, like the Jim Crow era in the United States. And so nothing new under the sun. It's defending what they believe in, you know, and it's basically, like to say, control resources. Number one, it's all about resources. It's about oil, gold, whatever. It's about resource, natural resources, and also, you know, controlling human beings, which is probably, you know, the most powerful resource on the planet, is to control people and to enslave people. And so, but it's a military base over there in a little small area with a bunch of missiles and things like that, but strategically located in that region of the world to keep everybody else at bay, you know, whether it be Iraq, Iran, Syria. Russia is in Iraq, I mean Iran. Russia's in Syria, and they have installations, they have things going on over there. So that's the tricky part. You know, that's where I heard somebody talk about WW3, you know, yeah, that's the tricky part, you know. So it's you get to blowing up the wrong stuff, you know, it might be a greater problem, you know, as far as a greater war, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, again, hopefully they calm down like they do at some point. You know, we'll hear, but we'll be reading something else or looking at something else in the news about some other area. But right now it's a hot topic. We got election year. So, you know, what more to have, you know, front and center during an election year than having a war, you know, they talk about the economy, back to the debate. You know, the economy. But the thing about it is the numbers don't lie. You know, the numbers are coming out. And again, people say, well, numbers and stats can be skewed, which they can. But what I'm saying is the numbers that everybody rely on, you know, whether it's the jobless rate, you know, the Federal Reserve just dropped dropped it 50 basis points, 0.50 interest rates. You know, they just dropped the interest rate for the they got the Treasury bill, 30-year Treasury bill, the 10-year Treasury bill, which is connected to the real estate. So overall, you know, money is getting cheaper to loan, and so that means that the economy is doing better, you know. And they say, well, the prices of bread and eggs and all that is still kind of high, still up there, which is true. But overall, you know, the numbers are coming in. The stock market hasn't crashed. You know, everything is doing fine. You know, it's according to the people that everybody rely on. You know, so it's a lot of propaganda out there. And you know, at the end of the day, though, all I can say is just cash your vote. Be careful out there. And you know, that's all I can say. Anyway, go ahead.
You had mentioned that you're right, prices go up. Major corporations who are the wholesalers, they, you know, they got the tax breaks. And Kamala and them inviting them tried to take them away. So a lot of the price gouging some think it's political, because they know that if prices go up, people get angry and they vote against the administration. Some people theorize that. I don't know how accurate it is, but it seems like that way because they get the big, you know, they were the ones that got the big tax break. And we look at this issue, and it's a challenge from the standpoint of us really looking beyond that. And plus, Trump lies about everything. And he lies about his administration economic progress. You know, he lost more jobs. They had the biggest deficit. But nobody's really focusing on challenging him when he said, when I was in office, everything was beautiful. Everything, everybody was happy and we were making money and my tariffs worked and proved that they worked. Biden didn't get rid of all of them. So, I mean, you know, it's a challenge from the standpoint to see the conspiracy, not the conspiracy, but the collaboration of prices going up when it's election time or the year of election. But prices always go up. I mean, like we said this before. We remember like the song said, a nickel with a fare could take you anywhere, and a penny could get you plenty. But now, you know, $100 is like $10, you know, with regards to the interest rates, the deflation of the dollar. You know, I mean, it's not worth a dollar, is not worth a dollar. You know, I mean, it don't even make sense. So we look at these issues, and we try to understand, because even Walz in the debate, he wasn't as strong as many people thought he should be. You know, they would come out, I agree with you, I agree with you, I agree with you, each of them. And he, you know, he asked the one question, did Trump lose the election? And the guy wouldn't answer it. But that's not the point. The point is that there's other issues that he, that he could have got Vance on. Like, he wrote the prefix to the Project 25. And they didn't bring that up during the debate. And second, he didn't say, well, look, vice presidents have to do with the president. Kamala Harris for all of that, you know. But anyway, that's the struggle. Is right. Now, as far as the war, America be talking about, they don't want to be dragged in. They're already in it. They're providing information. They're providing weapons. They're providing, they're attacking Israel enemies or perceived enemies, the Houthis. They're attacking, they're not standing up to the genocide. And they act like, well, we're not involved. How can you say that? And so there's a struggle as far as educating the people when they control the like, let me give you an example. October 6th, 7th was the day they were celebrating the loss of the 1,200 killed, people allegedly the attack on Israel. Every station, as Ahi was pointing out, every station all day was talking about following the parades, following the celebrations and recognitions and memorials for those that's captive and those that died. Not one mention. I mean, Kamala Harris, Panda Tree, Waltz went somewhere. The only people that stood up and spoke for the genocide were college students on college campuses. You know, they took a hardline position on that, as far as recognizing genocide, and they didn't cover it that much. You understand? They did not cover the demonstrations at UCLA and SC, recognizing the many thousands of deaths that Palestinians have suffered during the Gaza War and things of that nature, and the genocide. You see, that's that manipulation of the media that I was talking about. And he put it in words of kindness. We know some people control it, but we know exactly who do it. White people who claim to be Jews. You understand? I mean, that's what they have in common. Rashida, you have a comment?
Not really. I've been listening to a lot of news. Oh, well, I listen to Democracy Now because they actually have people, they have journalists in Gaza that reports out. And it's like day and night with the media, you know, that you would listen to, like CNN and Fox or whoever. So this is really appalling. And then I don't see how people can't see the simplicity of what's going on. When you say that you want a ceasefire or you working on a ceasefire, but you steady putting fuel in the fire to keep the fire going, giving Israel money and you giving them weapons and you helping them intercept, like you were saying, they were, when rockets was shot from Iraq, you know, they were assisted in, you know, intercepting Iran. Those rockets. Iran. And so it's really a contradiction when you could say that in one sentence, that you want to support Israel and they can defend themselves. But then you say in another breath, we want a ceasefire. It's like, how illiterate do people, you know, it's like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? That don't even make sense. So it's just appalling to see what's going on and all of the propaganda. And, you know, what do you believe? During the debate, I watched the debate. What was true if you don't do fact finding? And then is the fact finding true? It's just, we live in some mess. That's all. It's really messy. And I'm really just listening because,
first of all,
I'm lost when it comes to a lot of the information, because you get information over here, then you get information over there. Which one is true? You know, it's appalling.
You can see it because Biden has challenged Israel, and Netanyahu do what he want to do, embarrassing. But I think that's all a fake move. As long as Biden is talking and not doing, who pay attention to talking more? You know, you shouldn't be bombing citizens. Israel's not telling us their move. That's an embarrassment to admit, but it also could be a part of their game of being complacent by not doing anything when Israel do the things it do that you ask them not to do. You understand? And all that stuff about not giving them bombs and things of that nature. But at the same time, they're dropping the same 2,000 bombs in Lebanon, leaving big craters. Got people living in the street, telling them to evacuate. And you know, America's not even criticizing them for creating another humanitarian crisis. You understand? It's the whole game of, you know, throwing a rock and hiding your hand and acting like you didn't throw the rock. America is just as complacent. Every major news, unbiased news outlet says that America is complacent. Why? Because they're white people, and they're white people. They love killing. They get orgasm off of killing. Just look at it, how they're pronouncing it. Well, we assassinated their leaders. What kind of people brag about assassinating people? They call them terrorists to justify killing heads of state. They won't recognize them as a government. And so they say they're terrorists because in the Geneva Convention and rules of war, you ain't supposed to target the leaders of the country or the leaders of the military. And they're doing it right out in front. And how do they justify it? Oh, they're a terrorist group. That's what they used to call Malcolm and us black activists in the 60s. They used to call us militants. I don't know if y'all remember that. The black militants, you know. And then the resistance in South Africa, they called the South Africans resisting guerrillas. It's the demeaning when you have now. They don't really need to do all that because they're people who are not speaking out against it. It's collaborating, and then they blame the ones that speak out. Are they socialists and communists? I hear you have a comment.
I do not. I'm listening and I agree with you wholeheartedly. I'm just like with Rasha Key. It's like I'm not so puzzled as to why people aren't questioning it, because we're poorly educated here in America. And it's not only the African diaspora, but these Europeans too. They're so stupid, they're going for Trump. That's nothing but ignorance. And here we are, as you forestated, marching on to World War III willingly. It's amazing to be in these times. It's unbelievable.
What's the title of Jubal's book, Conspiracy of Silence?
Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah, so I could see the correlation there. And I mean, you hit it on the nail on the head, Professor Ruff. They just love killing. They don't have an affinity for life.
No. Not only do they kill humans, they kill the environment and say they ain't doing it. I mean, glaciers are melting, ocean, more storms, more wildfires, more uncontrollable fires, more seasons changing seasons, the atmosphere. Fish jumping out the ocean. Whales and beaching themselves. And they say, oh, that's nature. And even if it is climate change, that's a part of nature. It ain't a part of us drilling for oil and all the cars we got on the street and all the jets we got flying, killing the ozone. That's not that. Even though I don't care. As long as I can live rich today. That's why New Jack City was such inspiration to young people. I don't care if I die young, as long as I die rich. You understand? I don't care if I kill the environment and who I got to kill to live rich. You understand? Here's some the Menendez brothers killed their mom and daddy for inheritance. shotgun, tried to make it look like, they just, man, so they got a movie, throw your mama off the train. You understand? I mean, they always making scary movies. The number one movies are the violent. The violent. The ones that win all the Grammys. Most of ground. Godfather. You know, French Connection. It's always about murder. You understand? Yeah. I remember coming by a cop drive-in, and there was three movies playing. Kill or Be Killed. Kill, Kill. And then Kill, Kill, and Kill Again. Those were the three movies. You understand? I said, damn. You understand? You know, you get mad at the young people killing. Where would they get it from?
Now, you know, the Nation of Islam says, call people, you know, devil.
Yeah. Doers of evil.
Call it like you see it.
And it's like, all the any description of a devil, the criteria is met, and then they get mad because you call them that.
Ooh, and it burns them up too, man. It burns them up. They can't take it. It's like you hit them with a big stone when you call them a devil. They can take anything else, but don't call them a devil.
But they call it. They turn around, and call their kids, "You little devil." I mean, they know who they are. You little devil, you stop that. You know,
they
mean?
Can't take that.
Yeah, and they can't stop being. They can't stand being called a racist. You understand? But racists come in different forms. There are ones that's acting it out violently. There's one that's talking it, and there's one that just sit back and let it happen and take and accept the benefits. You understand? They benefit from white privilege. You understand? They always have. You know, and then they act like, oh, I'm against racism. You know, they go to give money to NAACP and all the black groups, and they go to church, and then they go to Klan meeting that night, and then they assassinate our black leaders. And then come out in the news and say the whole world needs to hang their head in shame, and they're the ones that did it. You understand? I mean, it's well documented. This is not something that we just making up. This is something we see. But as Roger Keefe, the conspiracy of silence is not only the silence of the white people, but of many blacks and the collaborators. Like we always say, Uncle Tom is big money. Ask Clarence Thomas. Ask Clarence Thomas. Ask any of the black people that side with white folks. They make big money, man. They always have. You understand? That brother that's running in North Carolina or South Carolina, who's talking crazy. I forget his name. They give him
big money. Sex fiend?
Yeah, the one that is running for senator.
Yeah,
he's a nutcase. But people voting for him. 70 million people voted for Trump. After he said he can grab women between their legs. After he over 250 women accused him of sexual abuse. After he said you can take arrow spray and spray put a light in you to get rid of COVID. You understand? and use bleach. disinfect. The way we can shoot disinfectant. I mean, and they voted for him, and then they want to know why we say, "Oh, y'all nuts."
You know, evangelicals watch him hold the Bible upside down and mispronounce one of the books in it and still backing.
Yeah. Because they really ain't evangelicals.
Nah, they ain't.
Hustle make white folks think there's a heaven. You understand? And they're going to go to it despite God give you for all your sins, even up on your deathbed. If you just accept him as your Lord and Savior, he'll forgive you. And you can get in. You understand? I mean, it's wild, man. You know, as y'all point out, it's totally insanity. So we look at this struggle, this continued struggle, and this It's one in which we have to recognize. See, that's what Black consciousness is about, to shake them. They say, oh, y'all just trying to brainwash us. Yeah, your brain need washing. You understand? And because you ain't acting out what you see and what you hear. You know, I mean, there's a brother, a Muslim brother, used to be an imam, used to follow Nation of Islam. He said, I'm dedicated to Trump. I said, why? Because he ain't never done nothing to me. And I like his economic policy. You understand? And I believe that everything they're saying about him, they're making it up. I say, oh man, I don't even argue with them. You understand? I just mock them. Yeah, they need to be told, be on a watch. They need to be watched. You understand? Because that is a very, and this guy grew up in the hood, grew up in the streets. You understand? He was always strange because, you know, he's smart. He was an attorney. He traveled to Africa 3 and 4 times, but he's hard on his people, man. They just don't want to work. They just don't want, not that they get discriminated against. not that if you cry. Go ahead.
Professor Rob, Mashinda raised his hand.
Go ahead, Mashinda.
No, I'm just, you know, all in all, man, it's, they are who they are. It's just that, you know, when you look at, you know, the brother, you know, the brothers and sisters in this country, you know, it's you know, the level of ignorance, sleep, all that, you know, I deal with people every day. You know, if you look at it like a math problem, it's a given that they gonna do what they do. You know, they're well documented in history. You can look at every story in history, and it's not too many positive outcomes. You mentioned the Native Americans. You talking about the Israels. You talking, you know, the so-called Jews over there. We could talk about every war in history that we know about that's documented, that has been presented. It's a given that, you know, what they're doing. But the unfortunate thing is, you know, we got the ones that have sold their soul to the devil. You know, the ones like the brother over there that's running for governor in North Carolina, Mark Richardson. You got Uncle Tim Scott. You got, you know, and to name other few, these Uncle Clarence Thomas. You know, those kind of folks who are headline, who are put in the media to say, you know, to represent the Black people, you know, but it's a front, you know, and they, you know, they've negotiated their soul, you know, for plane rides and rich people's planes and things like that, and to be accepted. You know, if you look at all of the guys, you know, that support Trump. If you go back to the Republican convention, and again, nothing's absolute. Even Mark Richardson, I think he has a Black wife. But other than that, and again, it's not, you know, don't get me wrong, if you were married to a white woman or something like that, that ain't what I'm talking about. Because at the end of the day, that don't matter even, you know, to a certain degree. That ain't, but the point I'm making is they're making it a point, you know, it adds to their position. And so if you look at most of the guys that spoke at the Republican convention, they all married to, you know, the white women, but it's intentional. It's part of their breeding, you know, it's part of their philosophy. You know, now if you fall in love with somebody, you do what you want to do. See, that's the other side of that coin. But if you think that this is where it's at, that in order for me to catapult in life, and, you know, for me to, you know, so I got to fraternize and associate with certain things, and that's it, you have limitations on what you do. And a lot of them, I believe that that's what that's all about. Clarence Thomas, you know, and the rest of them. So it's a far gone conclusion that it's a given that they're going to do what they do. It's just that what's happening with us, you know, I had a nephew left. He left here about an hour ago, and he pulled up for one reason. He registered to vote. Okay. He came and said, "Hey, I need you to," you know, he got off work. He pulled up. He said, "I'm about to pull up right now." We went online and he registered to vote for the probably for the first time in his life, you know. And he ain't 18 years old, you know. He's like 40 something. So he never participated in nothing like that, you know. And that's who he's been. But he's come around, you know. He's feeling better, good about himself, and he's like, "Hey, I need to be more civic minded." And things like that. But these are the seeds that we're planting out here, trying to, elevate people's consciousness, kind of what we're doing on this show, trying to, you know, put it out there and so forth. But at the end of the day, you know, the statistical cross sample that I witnessed, that I have witnessed over the last several years, meaning that the people that I come in contact with look like us, man, you know, and in particular the younger ones. The older ones are burnt out. The older ones are burnt out. You know, they're raising grandchildren. Now they're raising great grandchildren and grandchildren and stuff like that. Children that have gotten, you know, that are matriculating through life, that are becoming 15, you know, 10, 11, 12, 15, 22 years old. It's only so much energy can go into those grandkids, you know. It ain't like, you know, grandma's tired, okay, but so she's keeping food on, you know, in their stomach, keeping a roof over their head, and maybe going to a couple of PTA meetings and a couple of Little League baseball games. That's it. But as far as like, you know, so, I mean, I applaud that because they can be in the streets. So a lot of these kids are being raised by the streets, you know, and so this is our voting base, you know, this is what's becoming our voting base. And I'm looking at an election. We had a gubernatorial election that the governor got in January. You heard me talk about this governor. It was like a 29% voter turnout, 29%. The guy was supposed to be in a runoff because Louisiana, you know, Mississippi and all, they got black people. You got some black people that live in these states. But, you know, when it comes to being conscious, politically conscious, civic minded, or just in, you know, look, it's not about like, you know, hey, I didn't vote at some point in my life. I was, you know, talking about militant, you know, I was a revolutionary where, you know, like, I ain't got time to part. I'm like Brother Chihuahua on that, you know, like I'm trying to, you know, I'm on another agenda. But then I said, you know, these local elections are very important because we complain about these school boards, these school systems and all these other things. So I said, you know what? I have to concede and I have to, you know, I have to partake in it. I have to do my part. So anyway, all I'm saying is, you know, we are our own worst enemy when it comes to not participating in the process. You know, whatever the process is, if you don't want to vote, that's fine. If you say, "Yeah, I'm not going to vote," but you know, are you going to protest? Are you going to boycott something? You know, are you going to be active? Are you going to be politically active in terms of like trying to make change? You know. So it's all about resources and the tax, you know, where the tax dollars going. So if when they cut up the pie, and that school district over there is getting bare minimum, and over there these schools are getting more, who's arguing the point? Everybody's paying taxes, you know, but we're not even politically inclined, you know. So that's the struggle. That's one of the major parts of the struggle. We can talk about them all day, but that's a given. What they're doing, it's not baffling to me at all. I see them from a mile. I understand why they're doing what they're doing. I understand it, because if you look at all of the developed European countries in the world, their population is diminishing. They're knocking 0% birth rate in the head. Okay, they're not having babies, and so that when you don't have when you are losing your population, you're going to lose your control. But it's just in the middle of it. We're living in those times where we're watching them decline. And so it's like I used to say, last in the party, when you're at the party, last call for alcohol. This is their last call. They go, this is their last call. They're trying to hang on for dear life. And so they're trying, Hitler, they like to say Hitler was a genius. You know, and I don't say that like I support Hitler or what they say, but Hitler was saying, hey, if we can exterminate these guys and enslave these guys and kill off these guys, we'll keep our supremacy. That's what it was all about. But he got stopped, which was good. Don't get me wrong, was excellent. Stop this fool. But now you got this dude here, and you got Putin, you got this Trump guy. And they talking about Project 2025. Hey, it's a high level, it's a high tech way to lynch you. It's a high tech lynching, Project 2025. They talking about revamping the criminal justice system, the tax code, the everything, revamping everything. And so it's going to be, artificial intelligence. Everything is going to keep us, it's going to set us back further and further. You think we're 29% voter turnout now. We ain't gonna have no turnout if we don't pick it up and understand this. So I'm constantly on a day-to-day basis having these conversations and challenging these young brothers and sisters. Hey, you need to pay attention to what's going on and then make a decision. But that's what's up. We got population. We have voting blocks and things like that in our own communities, but we got that Martin Robinson mentality, that guy that's running for North Carolina governor. A lot of them have that mentality where they feel that, oh, I want to be independent. I'm voting for this. I'm voting for that. They just, they showing out just to be accepted, that kind of thing, But we need to get ourselves together. That's what I'm working on a daily basis. It's a given that these folks are going to do what they do. That's all I'm saying, And yeah, go ahead.
What people forget is the lingering effects of oppression. It takes, especially when you have parents that continue the practices of apathy and disengagement, and just, hey, I just want to be left alone. I don't want to get involved in nothing. Like you said, it was not just Black activists that didn't vote. There are many Black people that don't vote. A lot of the people you're talking about, they're not activists, they just disengage. And oppression does that to people. The psychological and cultural destruction, because to them, voting is participating in your own oppression. And even though it's really a method of, we have a political struggle without and a cultural struggle within. Some catch it like yourself, you think that we would have more people that are activists, but we don't. Being Black conscious is a lonely road, brother.
A lonely road.
You tell people, hey, man, you ought to check out the podcast. You ought to come in. Man, they'd rather watch a football game. Some of them rather play Nintendo with their kids than to get the news. You understand? That's what oppression do, and it's a byproduct of oppression. I'm not saying that some are not willingly just disengage, even though they're conscious. Like you said, you was a conscious brother and didn't feel like voting. So those things happen. But you came to reality that you had to fight on all fronts, like Malcolm said, the political one from without and the culture one within. But there is progress, or we wouldn't even have this show. There is progress, because our people used to get killed for just thinking, what are we talking about? Just if they look at you and say, you know, they just walk down the street and say, we're going to have a lynching. You understand? We didn't stop a lot of that. And we stopped a lot of other forms of oppression. But the emotional and psychological aspect of sending our kids to their schools is okay. If you're schooling them at home too, of consciousness and what their role is. And that's the problem in many ways. You know, you got young men that don't want to be married, don't want to raise their kids consciously, you know. They take their kids to Magic Mountain and Disneyland, but won't take them to an educational forum. Those things happen. But go ahead, Rashiki. Unless somebody have other comments or questions they want to raise, we can close.
You know, out. I remember
go ahead.
The first time I voted against Reagan. There used to be a time in
that was
country,
in the '80s. Then that was in the '80s,
right? He was running against Carter. Yeah. Carter was running for a second term. Uh-huh. There used to be a time when you could not put anything on TV that wasn't factual. Uh-huh. It had to be proven factual for you to put it on TV. You could, and especially couldn't knowingly tell a lie and put it on TV. Mm-hmm. When Reagan got in office, he changed all that. Mm-hmm. I believe that was one of the variables in the equation of false information being put out there. People started playing these games and putting out false information and playing like it's factual. That along with our educational system. Detroit, our high schools, when I was in high school, we used to put out every kind of profession there was. Yeah, every high school. We had one of the top educational school systems in the country. Now we're at the bottom, the last, the very last. This is all by plan, you know, with this charter school stuff. But we have to learn how to play the game. The Nation of Islam, they're able to get a charter school and can't nobody tell them what to teach. And they're getting public funds with this. Catholic schools, it basically saved the Catholic schools in the Detroit area. They were closing. A lack of parishioners and church members and people not being able to afford sending their children to parochial schools. So we can, with African-centered schools, get this money and still get the message out there. Because without education, we're going to continue to do like what we did with this guy Biden. Nobody looked at the agenda. Nobody looked at his agenda and him being able to get things done. They was concerned about aesthetics. All of a sudden, you get Kamala Harris in there with the same, basically the same agenda, except she wants to be more family friendly. And everything just, you know, cult of personality type of deal. I believe that's kind of working against us. We cannot look beneath the surface and see something for what it is. We're caught all up once again on perception. Mm-hmm. And that's all I have to say about that.
That's heavy. It's a good analysis. That's strong. Roger Key, what's going on tomorrow?
We got Dr. Inky Real coming back. And the topic is holiday meals. Let me. I'm a little tired here. Let me look at this. Okay. Holiday health. Holiday health. And that's
Okay.
tomorrow.
Before we go, I wanted to say one thing. We got to give respect and give homage to Brother John Amos, who made his transition, who played on Good Times. Strong brother, who walked off the show. And they tried to say that maybe he was critical of the show for making J-Day the main character. And he said it should be more, dignified. He was a former pro football player, as well as in the military, and he was a brother that took a stand on acting in theater, and we need to recognize and appreciate his contribution in serving as a role model to emulate for other actors to speak out against demeaning roles that Black people had. Esther Rowley did the same thing. Because when they first started Good Times, they didn't have a father. And she said, well, where's the daddy? Norman Lear. And that's how John Amos got the job. And and he would argue with the writers, because there was no Black writer on Good Times. He said, Norman Lear made all the Black sitcoms, but in during that era. Good Archie Bunker, all of them. And he stereotyped many of the Black people. So, I remember they had that movie, A Different Strokes, about a white man adopting Black kids and showing them a good life, making other kids think that that's their answer. This was a biblical suggestion of TV. People don't look at it as an educational tool. But many of us develop roles in our lives to emulate what we see on TV. You see brothers wearing Godfather hats and thinking that they're gangsters that they see on TV. You see brothers treating their women the way white men treat their women, beat them, slap them, and then screw them and kiss them, and then everything's made up, all kind of violence. I mean, you'd be surprised at the miseducation. Know what I'm saying? And you have to educate your children on what they're looking at and tell them don't let that be part of your personality. Bullying, using drugs. Our parents started smoking because they saw people on TV smoking. I mean, it's just a. It's just, you'd be surprised at the influence it has. And it's because we don't counter it, as Francis Crick Wilson says in Neely Fuller with their counter racism culture. But we forget the little things that we take for granted that influence us, that we don't think is influencing us. And you've got to be conscious. Sometimes we have to go on our television fast. You see all these commercials about lawyers begging you to get in an accident and call them. You see all these prescription drugs, and when they list off the side effects, it make you say, I ain't taking that stuff. You understand? If your tongue get thick, if you have problem breathing, even if you die, call your doctor. What the hell is that? You understand? So we got a long way to go, as far as when we're talking about miseducation. But the big miseducation is the lack of education in the home. And then the rebellious aspect of our children through our education. They want to do their own thing. Tattoos, just thinking they Beyonce and can't sing. I mean, it's just rough, But we're still doing good as far as some people growing up with consciousness, and some people are growing up like in Palestine, no matter how many people they kill, other generations come up. Because where there's oppression, psychological, physical, spiritual, there's going to always be a liberation movement. So we'll be here tomorrow to see about the holiday eating, which a lot of people, it's a rare family that don't get 10 pounds of chitlins on New Year's. You understand? And so you can talk all your stuff and 4 bottles of hot sauce. You understand? I mean, to go with it. And so that's just the way it goes. I mean, I don't eat, but you'd be surprised at the people in the South and the people that from the South, that's their mission. Yeah. I mean, you used to go in the store and you see pig feet, pig ears, pig feet, you understand? Yeah, hog head cheese. I mean, what the hell going on? But, you know, but, and people lining up to get it. You know, a big jar in front of the store on the counter, a big foot looking at you. I mean, and people don't think they're eating an animal.
Hey.
Yeah. But anyway,
here in Detroit, just if I could just interject, but here in Detroit, we got Eastern Market, and this is like the central point where the food comes up into Detroit and we ship it out throughout the state. And my cousin was telling me a story about at the butcher's shop, when they would discard the guts and the chitlins and stuff in the garbage dumpsters, Black people would go and start going into the garbage dumpsters to get these chitlins.
Oh, wow.
And they found out, and the owners were asking questions. When these people are jumping in all guts and all this kind of stuff, and that's when they started selling chitlins around here in Detroit. And that was in the around the 40s.
Oh man, look, you'd be surprised what people eat around the world. You know, in Istanbul, they eat rats. They hunt rats. You understand? And eat them.
Oh yeah, the field mice with the rice. They eat the rice, and they said it's supposed to be pretty good.
And some people eat bats in China. You understand?
Hey, Mexicans eat donkey dick.
Yeah. So man, you know, and you don't know what you're eating. That's why they called it brown round. What the hell is that brown round be? You know, they grind it up, whatever's in there. But anyway, let's tune in tomorrow and see about holiday eating. All right, Rossi.
All right.
All right.
Conscious Corner. Each one teach one.
All right, brother.
I'll see y'all later.
All right, okay. You take